Today on Curie, what if the fastest growing career path in medicine wasn't actually a career path at all? Locum tenens, once seen as a stopgap or semi-retirement gig, is now a deliberate choice for over 52,000 US doctors. But what's really driving that shift? Is it about freedom, flexibility, burnout, or even something else deeper breaking in the healthcare system? Today, we're joined by Dr. Andrew Wilner, neurologist, author of The Locum Life, and host of the Art of Medicine podcast. He's been at the forefront of this locum tenens movement for over 30 years. And in this episode, we talk about the new shape of medical careers, the traits that make a great locums physician, and whether we're entering a new era of what it means to be successful in medicine. Dr. Andrew Wilner, welcome to the show.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for asking me to talk about locum tenens.
100%. Yeah, I'm so excited you could join us today because, you know, when we here at Curie first started thinking about covering broader physician trends and covering the rise of locum tenens, one name kept consistently coming up in our searches, and that was yours. And as the author of The Locum Life, which I encourage all of our listeners to go check out, and as a longtime physician and as someone who's been speaking about the future of medical careers on your own podcast, The Art of Medicine, we feel incredibly lucky to be speaking to you as one of the leading voices in the locum tenens space. So a huge treat for me personally, and you know, hopefully it will be for our listeners too.
Andrew, well, thanks for inviting me. You know, locums, it's a long story, but it's something I love to talk about because locum tenens helped my career a great deal at a number of different points. And I wrote the book because as a writer, I was looking for, well, what do I know something about? And I'd already written three books. And I was thinking, well, you know, actually, I did my first locums assignment in 1982. So over the years, I had worked locums off and on. And I thought, you know, and I learned a lot about it, about licensing and credentialing and staffing agencies, and just how to be successful as a locums doctor. And then the financial aspects, what's the difference between 1099 employee and a W-2 employee, things, you know, I didn't know anything about it. It dawned on me that, gee, new locums doctors might not know these things either. It'd be a fun book to write. Now, little did I know, this was about 6 years ago, that locums was going to explode as an option for physicians today, that whereas in the old days it was sort of a backup plan or something you did part-time while you were sort of transitioning to something else.
You know, earlier you were speaking to the portrayal of locum tenens, and from an outside perspective, I've noticed that locum tenens often gets portrayed as, you know, maybe something you only do in retirement or even something you only do as you're preparing to transition towards retirement. But I think the reality seems a little bit more nuanced than that. And there's considerable debate on whether locums is, you know, kind of a stopgap in your career or a viable long-term career path. And so from what I've seen in your writing and on your own podcast, you've been pretty vocal about correcting maybe some of these common misconceptions that people have about locum tenens. So I wanted to ask you, you know, what do people still must misunderstand about locum tenens, even those people that work in medicine? What are some common misconceptions that you want to correct?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. And there is a lot to unpack there. So back in the old days, the medical model for a successful physician was to have your own practice. That's what everyone aspired to. You're going to get the best training you could get, and then you're going to hang up a shingle with your name on it and develop a reputation so that all the people in that neighborhood in that location, and the other physicians would respect you and refer mm-hmm. to you, and you would live there for the rest of your life and develop a very successful practice with integrity and reputation. And with that would come a respectable income, and life would be wonderful. So with that as the ideal, people who were working locum tenens were often viewed, and it was true in some cases, as doctors who couldn't get a job. These were doctors who didn't have the people skills to develop a successful practice, or they just didn't have the personalities where they wanted to stay in one place, you know, for forever. That wasn't their model. And so there was a sense that, in fact, at one point when I worked in Minnesota Hennepin County Hospital once, and I remember, and I was pretty well along in my career, and a few people would stop me and said, "Dr. Miller, why are you doing locums? You know, how come you're not, you know, at academics or something?" And so there was a little bit of this perception that it's a step down from practice. Okay, so that has certainly changed. Now, who is doing locums? When I thought about this and I wrote my book, it turns out there are three categories of people that do locums, three types of physicians. As you mentioned, there's the sort of, let's call them pre-retirement physicians. These are doctors who've had a successful practice, might be 60, might be 70, even in their 50s, saying, you know, I want to slow down. I have a lot of hobbies that I've put on the back burner. I want to spend more time with my family. I want to travel. I have enough money in the bank. I'm pretty good, but I don't want to stop being a doctor. That's who I am. And so locum tenens gives the option to work when you want to work on limited time assignments. So an orthopedic surgeon can take a job for 6 months, usually in a rural area that can't keep a regular orthopedic surgeon, for example. And then the other 6 months can do whatever they want. And there's no paperwork. There's no hospital committees. You know, there's no subtext. You just show up, you do your work as a doctor. There's no billing. You get usually an hourly salary, and that's it. So for many pre-retirement physicians, it's a great way to sort of ease out of what can be an overwhelming burden of hours, particularly as one ages. So that's one category. Another category is successful mid-career physicians who are working hard. They're happy with what they're doing. Everything's great, but they're not earning enough money. Kids are going to private schools. They need braces. Car breaks down. Maybe they purchased a second home, but you know, now the roof needs to be done. Somehow there's just not enough cash. So for those physicians, they can take their vacation time and find a spot for a couple weeks and supplement their income. The other side of that group is there may be physicians who are successful in their careers, but they don't want to do it anymore. It's like, it's always been my dream to open a restaurant, you know, or do something completely different. But that's a tough transition to make, just to stop working one day. The paycheck stops, but the mortgage continues. The private school tuition continues. The dental and doctor bills continue. So locums is a way to kind of transition and test the waters. I interviewed one physician who was a very successful cardiovascular surgeon who wanted to be a novel writer. That's what he wanted to do. He was about 40 years old. He just got out of the military. He tried private practice. He didn't like it. He wanted to write novels first full time. So, and he does, and he's now very, very successful. But he told me that he worked locums for 2 years to keep the money coming in until he had enough books out there and enough book sales that he could support himself. So for him, it was a transition to another career. Then the last group are young physicians who are finishing their training, maybe their residency or fellowship, and they're not sure what they want to do. Do they want to live on the West Coast or the East Coast? Do they want to work in a, you know, in a big city hospital? Do they want to try a small, you know, rural group? Want to move to Hawaii? They don't know. And then some of them might have a significant other who's a year behind. Maybe they're finishing law school or they're also in medicine, but they're not synchronized. So they have a year or two to kind of do something because they're done before making that big jump to signing a contract for what could be a, although it often isn't, but what could be their permanent job. So locums for them gives an opportunity to experiment. Gee, I'm going to go to Hawaii for 6 months. You know, I'm going to work in internal medicine. There's a great hospital there. Let's see if I really like it or not. If I do, we could stay. You know, we'll find another job. If not, go do something else. So locums for that group can be a great way to test the waters. So all of a sudden, there's been a huge growth in locums. My book has become at least as popular today as it was when it first came out, which I, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't expect. I figured, you know, I have sales for a few years and die off. But now it's every month, people, because it's becoming a real alternative to the employed physician model.
Yeah, there are all these stats speaking to the rise of locum tenants. You know, I was reading some articles prior to this interview and saw that there's been, you know, double digit revenue growth consistently year over year for the past handful of years, increasing participation of facilities reporting using locums. So I saw a stat that said 2/3 of all healthcare facilities report using locums in some form or fashion. And at the end of this past calendar year, almost 52,000 US doctors working locum tenants full or part-time. So I'd love to hear your take on what this trend reveals about the current state of clinical practice. For example, you referred to, you know, burnout a little bit earlier. Would you go so far as to say that increasing rates of locum tenants may reflect certain broader systemic issues in healthcare, such as, you know, physician burnout or staffing shortages? What's your take on why locum tenants is becoming such a popular path for doctors in the United States?
Yes, I published a piece in Medscape a few months ago. I think the title was The Paradox of Locum Tenens, because the paradox being the locum tenens is growing. It's a great option for physicians for all the reasons we just discussed, you know, for those leaving practice, mid-career, pre-retirement. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, why is there all this growth? I think it's an indictment of what's available in the system. And I think it's really sad. I mean, I think doctors graduating now, unlike when I graduated, where you had this, you know, this dream and this realistic alternative, this option to develop your own practice and also have autonomy, which I think is very, very important for, you know, people who invest so much energy in their careers. And now that physicians really are stuck, it's not by choice. You know, medicines have turned into, you know, groups are turning into these mega groups and corporations. There's a lot of government oversight and rules and regulations of having a practice. So a lot of rules like that, that make starting your own practice or even having a practice of two or three partners very, very difficult. And, you know, I think it's a different, expectations are different. And so locums is a response to all of this. And it's, as I say, it's a great option, but it's really an indictment of the undesirability of the current system.
I've read and heard people online comparing locums to being somewhat of a freelancer in the tech world. And I feel like that analogy makes a lot of sense because, you know, in both cases, you are moving between different teams, moving between various organizations, kind of shuffling from place to place, location to location. You might be adapting to different frameworks and different systems and processes at each of these individual stops. And I think most critically, you're kind of working without that long-term safety net that comes with a full-time role. And at least from my understanding in kind of this freelancing gig economy, you know, success might not be as contingent or dependent on your technical skills. Obviously, that's table stakes for you even to get hired in kind of this freelancing tech gig economy world. But you know, maybe success also hinges just as much on your intangibles, your ability to be flexible, your ability to adapt, your ability to communicate, to build trust with your new peers quickly. I'm curious if you have a take on if that analogy resonates with you and if there's a particular mindset or background or personality that you think makes locums more tenable for an aspiring doctor, a doctor that wants to pursue locums, or even on the flip side too, are there certain types of physicians that you think tend to struggle with that kind of setup?
Oh, great, great question. Most of the residents and students that have worked with me know I talk about the three A's of success. And because if you're a medical student, it's a little bit like being a locums doctor. You know, every month or so, they're sending you to another service with a different attending who's going to do things differently. And you're doing pulmonary or cardiology or renal or neurology. And you just keep bouncing. And so the three A's of success apply, you know, the first being availability. If you're going to be a good locums doctor, you know, show up on time, right? Answer your pager, be present, do all the things, you know, that need to get done, because that's what people expect. I mean, that's number one. Number two, be affable, be nice. You're going to encounter so many people who don't know you. They don't know how smart you are. You know, they don't know that you finished in the top 1%, you know, of all your exams. All they really know is kind of what you look like. And so dressing like a physician, whatever that means to you, is very, very important. I wear a tie, for example. When I go to work, I hate wearing a tie, but I think wearing a tie, I'm not wearing a tie now because I'm not at work. Wearing a tie makes me look like a doctor, and people treat me like a doctor when I'm wearing a tie. And since I am a doctor and I want to be treated like a doctor, it facilitates my mission of being a successful doctor. So even though I don't really want to wear a tie, I wear a tie. So dress like a physician. So you're available, you're affable, you're nice to everybody, and you're going to meet a lot of people you don't want to be nice to, who aren't nice to you. It doesn't matter. You just be nice to everybody. And they're going to say, you know, that Dr. Wheeler, he's nice. And that kind of smooths things out. And it also protects you a little bit if you do something and it doesn't go well. You say, oh, Dr. Wheeler, he's such a nice guy. He never would have done that. You know, you must be wrong. That must have been somebody else. And then lastly, you need to be able. You need to have ability. So availability, affability, and ability. And that's really important in locums because you're going to a new place. You don't know who to ask for backup. You know, you see this patient, gee, I don't know, he's really complicated. Well, if you've worked at the same institution for 10 years, you probably know who you can kind of curbside and say, you know, John, I don't really know what's going on here. You got any thoughts? But now you're, you know, in the middle of South Dakota where I was. It's like, I don't know who to ask. You know, you pick up the phone maybe. So you're isolated. So you really have to be comfortable in your skills.
You know, as we wrap up our conversation, do you have any final thoughts or parting messages that you'd like to communicate?
Well, you did ask for advice. And I would say for young people, I think it is so important to be deliberate about what you're going to do and to have some insight. And I found that many of my students do about what are your own talents. You know, if you're clumsy with your hands, even though you really, really, really want to be a surgeon, that's just not the way to go. And so on the other hand, if you're talented with your hands and you have a really high aesthetic sense, maybe you want to be a plastic surgeon. I interviewed one who told me exactly that from my podcast, The Art of Medicine, that just came out this week. He said he was in medical school, didn't know what he wanted to do, but he's always good with his hands, and he was a very artistic guy. And he said, you know, plastic surgery, that's for me. And he's a Park Avenue plastic surgeon, and it all worked. So I think you have to think, you know, what are my talents? And then, you know, do I want to do interventional, you know, cardiology? Do I want to be running the hospital at 2 a.m? When I trained, I worked with a thoracic surgeon. He lit up. You know, I'd call him at 2 a.m. and I say, you know, there's a guy in the emergency room. I think they might have, you know, a ruptured aorta. We're going to have to operate. He'd say, great. And he'd show up 10 minutes later with a blue blazer on, ready to go. I mean, you know, there was nothing in his life that was better than that, which was one of the reasons he had been already divorced twice. That was what kind of made him tick. So kind of knowing what makes you happy and what your gifts are can really give that some thought, and that will direct you, you know, where you're going to go, because it's a lot of investment, right? Being a medical student and a resident and starting a practice. So you want to make a good investment.
Dr. Wilner, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show.
Andrew, thanks for the opportunity to talk about locum tenens.